So let's welcome Mary.
Hi everyone. So I hope you can see me. I'm a bit short. So we'll be doing a presentation on community capacity building, and our case study will be specifically on OSM Kenya. So we'll be doing the presentation in collaboration with Walter Mayeko. So Walter Mayeko is the community coordinator of OSM Kenya, and I've also been volunteering with OSM Kenya under the outreach working group. So this is the outline of what we'll be expecting from our presentation. So we'll be talking on community capacity building pillars. Then we'll discuss more about OSM Kenya community. So we'll give an overview of OSM, where OSM Kenya started, where we are now, and where we look forward to being years to come. Then we'll discuss each of the pillars, giving examples of how OSM Kenya has contributed to each of the community capacity pillars. So we have, for this case, there are many pillars for community capacity building, but we'll specifically focus on four of them. So we'll focus on capacity building itself, then sustainability and resilience, leadership development, partnerships and collaborations. So under capacity building, we'll talk about how us as OSM Kenya, as a OSM community, we are building ourselves amongst the OSM community, and also how we are building the larger community. We also talk about how we've been supporting sustainability amongst ourselves and even the larger community. Then we'll give a model of the leadership development in OSM Kenya. And then we'll also talk about the partnerships and collaborations that we've so far had as OSM Kenya. So OSM Kenya was founded in 2019, and it started as a group of 8 people, but currently we have approximately 300 people. So you can see there has been that growth. And then in this year, in 2024, OSM Kenya was registered as a society. So this means now it's recognized by the government of Kenya as an association. So as you can see, we have some two charts. There's one chart here under agenda. So you can see approximately we have around 120 plus female, and we also have more than 150 male. Then under occupation, we have students, we have professionals, and we have other people. So students take the highest percentage of the community. So that is how, where OSM was, where we are now, and our vision is to be the leading advocate of open data, and not just open data, but also on quality data in Kenya. So under capacity building, so I've said we'll discuss on how we've been building ourselves as an OSM community, and also how we've been building the larger community. So as a building the larger community, we've been holding mappathons and trainings. With this, we've been partnering with youth mappers, like we've been meeting the different youth mappers chapters, and we train the students on how to contribute on OSM. Then we've also been supporting the mappathons with Kenya Red Cross Society, and also an ongoing initiative, and currently they also have mappathons that are happening. It's with an organization called the Clinton Health Access Initiative. So also apart from helping the community at large, as a community, we also help each other where we hold weekly mappathons. So we mostly have online weekly mappathons. And as you can see, we have an image here. This is one of the events, one of the online mappathons that we've had. Also as a community, we've also tried to instill technical skills. Apart from just the open mapping contribution, we are also focusing on technical skills, such as like the drone image processing. So there are some members of the OSM community who have been trained on how to process drone imagery. And also there's a project that was undertaken on street level. So this one, they specifically focused on mapillary to map the streets. And another interesting project is micro mapping. So the image you can see at the top, so this was data that was acquired from drone data, and drone data was incorporated with street level data. And now this is how the area is currently like has been mapped on the map. Like they've tried to ensure most of the features have been represented on the map. So we know when it comes to making use of drone data, it's as we know the advantages of drone data, it's high resolution and highest probability being high resolution, it's easier to capture more features as they are on the ground. So with this, we've also had several partnerships and collaborations, and we'll highlight some of the partners we've had, the projects, and what has been the goal of these projects, because it has not just been doing projects, but there's been objectives behind this project. So one of the partners that we've had mostly is Youth Mappers. So as you've seen, like most of the members of the OSM community are students, and most of these students are members of the Youth Mappers. So with Youth Mappers, we've had many mapping campaigns, including the Special People Award mapping campaigns. And the goal of having these mappathons is to ensure that everyone is on the map. And as I've mentioned, our main goal is not just to ensure everyone is on the map, but to ensure everyone is well represented and data is of good quality. Then another partners that we've had is Trophy. And with Trophy, there's a project that is ongoing, the partnership between OSM Kenya and Trophy. And their project is bringing Trophy to Nairobi. And we'll specifically discuss more about this project at the end. So the main aim behind this project is to improve on public mobility in Nairobi. We've also had a partnership with TomTom, and with TomTom, they've been supporting our mapping campaigns and even project implementation. So with their support, this has helped to improve community open data. We've also had partnerships with humanitarian OpenStreetMap team, and with these ones, they have been the project partners in most of the projects. They've been offered financial support and all other necessary requirements. Then we've also had partnerships with Clinton Health Access Initiative. So Clinton Health Access Initiative, they've specifically been aiming to improve school and health data. So once we improve on the health and school data, we're trying to ensure that health and education is easily accessible to the community at large. We've also been having an interesting project with Map Kibera, because with Map Kibera, they are specifically focusing on high school program. With high school, we are trying to ensure that everyone is included. So it's not just the university people or professionals who are contributing to OSM, but we are also having the high schoolers getting a chance to contribute to OSM. Another interesting project that we've had is with the Kenya Red Cross. So we've been supporting in their mapping campaigns, and their main aim behind the Kenya Red Cross mapping campaigns is for disaster preparedness. There's also another partnership that is in development stage with APHRC, and their main goal and behind the partnership, it will be to update OSM data and specifically focusing on informal settlements. Yeah, so these are the partnerships and collaborations that we've had, and we are inviting you all to also come partner with us and ensure that we're improving on the OSM data. So you can see Open Map Development Tanzania is here, innocent. So we're also welcoming you to come and partner with us. So we also have the leadership development. So Walter will discuss more about the leadership model. How is the leadership model like in OSM Kenya, and how are we ensuring that there's a standard way of the leadership model? So welcome, Walter.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mary. As usual, I like to make this more fun. I know it's pretty late in the evening, not really late, but I hope we're catching up pretty much. And yes, this presentation, when we were designing it, our main idea was we cannot talk about open data without talking about communities, right? And I think it's important that with time, I always say this, communities are not homogeneous, right? OSM Kenya community is not OSM Tanzania, is not OSM Uganda, is not OSM Philippines, anywhere. We face different challenges, and there is a way if you don't get to get access to the right information, skills, it becomes very hard to build a community that can stay for 5 years. I think some of us, we've had communities that collapse in a year, you know. I think I was in a youth mapper chapter back then. And every time when you're president, you leave school, it collapses, right? Then we have to wait a whole, get other people to come train people. After training people, then we again pick up. So we have a very weird way of, you know, breaking the cycle. And we thought, can we, you know, find a way of how we can improve our communities? How do we make our communities more resilient? How do we make our communities more sustainable? And that is how we felt like we can share this, because from the success story, as Mary has shared, we can attest that OSM Kenya has grown from one level to another level. For background knowledge, there are people who know OSM Kenya is Map Kibera. Anyone who believes that? There are people who've been there for a little while longer, they know that, right? If you globally talk about OSM Kenya, people are like, that's Map Kibera. Because initially, Map Kibera, we didn't have a strong OSM Kenya team. But it doesn't mean we are separate. We just merge our synergies. Map Kibera, they were our fiscal sponsors because we didn't have like registration or bank account or anything. So we realized that how do we build a community, not separate. It's in its entity, it's separate, but objectives are almost the same. But now Map Kibera, you know, as people know, I'm not allowed to talk about them much because, you know, but then they handle more data and slums. But then we needed to look at the data quality for Kenya. There are people contributing on Kenya. If you look at the queries, you realize, I see my brother Ezekiel is always top mapping in Kenya. He's not from Kenya. Now we need, you realize there are a lot of people contributing to that. Now, how do we bring in the local knowledge to check on the quality of the data and just improve data in Kenya? You need a strong community, because the strong community, we believe that they are especially spread around Kenya, they can give you more details on specific details you want to put on the map. This is now how we are thinking of how to make our communities more resilient. We need to build the capacities of the communities, and that's why we've been sharing all these slides. And of course, I came in just, I was just to support Mary and also just do a quick presentation. I think there is part of leadership, I think, that I can talk about. We realized that if you look at the leadership, you're only having like three leaders in OSM, and we all understand that our communities are purely mostly volunteering. I know some people have experienced burnouts. You do a lot of work and then you realize, oh, I'm tired. I really need a break. If you don't have a big team, you really don't get someone to hold your hand to help you move from one stage to the other. So if you have a big leadership team, it becomes easier for you. So for us, we adopted this leadership structure. So we have the community coordinator, we have the treasurer and the secretary, right? Then from there, we have working groups. Now, these working groups, we have the communication working group, which has a lead, and then they have members who support them. Now they do posters, they do every other communication work, and write emails, which they can share with the secretary, and then, you know, we get all the approval, have the right hierarchy of command of flow of information to make sure that we have a good direction. Then we also have programs that set up the program that we're having sessions throughout the year. We have training working group. They are responsible for creating projects, coordinating all trainings, mapathons we do with Red Cross or any other organization. They are the ones who facilitate the training. They train the people. And of course, we do a good check to see if they are able to deliver that first, because we need to see consistency. Because we've recently seen very interesting mapping. Like, I got someone asking, you know, they are querying for an embassy in Kenya, and because someone went to an embassy, the entire land use then mapped individual buildings as embassy for Poland. So if you query, you get like, you have like six embassies for Poland in Kenya. You know, it becomes such consistency and inaccurate data. It's not much inaccurate, but you need to like have the right way of mapping them. So we have such teams like the training working group that we truly try much to empower them. Then we have the outreach, which is responsible for all the collaborations you see. So that is how we try to structure our leadership. And we are sharing this so that someone else can adopt it if it can help you work in your community. If you face the same challenges that we face, it can really help you overcome some of the challenges that we face. And of course, to mention that we meet weekly. So I always congratulate my team for supporting us. They always on Friday, while people are going for partying, they turn up at 7 p.m. for a meeting. And I give them a pipi talk on what is happening and the developments with OSM. So the last thing that I thought we should talk about, because for us this is important. Number one, we are looking for partners so we implement this project. I didn't put a lot of slides on it because I knew I was going to talk about it elsewhere. I did a presentation in that is Masai Mara Hall about GTFS, the projects we are doing with Trophy. So the project bringing Trophy to Nairobi, anyone who's heard about Trophy, just by raise of hand, Trophy Association? Yes, Trophy Association is an organization that deals with public transport. And mostly they look at accessibility, security, you know, issues. We've had already success stories of already public transport apps installed in Ethiopia, Ghana, that is Cochabamba. We have one in Germany, right? So we have several apps already running, and all these apps are hosted using the GTFS that are on OSM. So it's an open app. You can create it from your country. Literally, you have a community that, you know, like us, Nairobi, we realize that we understand the city and we can help in editing and doing the routes in Nairobi. Then we create the GTFS. Now we use the GTFS. We identify the problem that we have, like in Nairobi, you know, if you're a lady and you're trying to use the bus, you're likely to be, you know, those weird stories that we hear. So we are trying to handle the issue of safety in public transport app that is accessibility. A good example is where I stay, we have like 6 circles coming. Circles are like the bus companies doing the same route to the city center, but then they have different prices. It's the same distance. So distance is not equivalent to money. Yeah, it's the same distance, different prices. The environment inside the bus is different. The time, the speed is different. So with these preferences, we are trying to see how we can help improve public transport by planning, helping in planning the routes. People who want to wait for this bus, can you track a bus so that you don't have to wait at the bus stop for 30 minutes? You know that it's leaving right now. So if I go to the bus stop, in 5 minutes, I can get the bus. So it's more of trying, how much can we try to improve the public transport system in Nairobi? So that is the kind of work we're trying to do. And on safety, the most important thing we want to achieve is how we can get direct feedback from the app. So if I'm on the Matatu and I feel threatened, can I send a live report to... Can I send a live report of what is happening, that I'm about to be assaulted, I'm getting assaulted, so I get the immediate response from the authorities? So we try sort of to bridge the gap in communication, because we can't always wait when you get assaulted. If someone doesn't record a video, trust me, you'll never get justice in Kenya. I know Kenyans know this, because unless someone records you and takes it to the social media, locals or us, we will never rant, because we will never believe the story. To avoid this, if someone can have a feedback report on the app, right, you can communicate and you get immediate feedback. Or rather response to the challenge that you're facing. So that is the entire idea of the app that we are trying to do. And in our development stage of the app, the first stage was doing the idealization of the idea, what I've just talked about, identifying the problem that we're trying to solve in the society. Because number one, if you don't do an app that is not solving a problem, we always say, most likely it's not going to be successful, right? So we try to identify the problem, and the next stage we are doing is creating the GTFS. And in this stage, we already had Digital Matatu do Nairobi routes back in 2019. But then if you look at the system in 2019 tonight, right now, the routes have changed. The city has grown. If you're looking at Nairobi bedrooms, like that is Machakos, Kiambu, and Kajiado, it means the routes go, like the routes from Nairobi Metropolitan have grown bigger than they were in 2019, right? We also had different routes coming up because of COVID and a lot of other things changing. So it keeps on changing. And so our stage where we are at the moment, we are currently now editing the GTFS, trying to correct using desktop validation, because as Mary said, we haven't had enough funds to go to the field, collect enough data, but we need like to collect street level imagery, look at the bus stops, the road infrastructures, we can look at the footpaths, the walking paths, the bumps, any other road infrastructure that is more meaningful, we can map that. And we use the data to validate the existing GTFS. So with the GTFS, we have the ready ones, we can do a better app. But at the moment, we're just validating the existing GTFS before we collect our own data. So with the GTFS, we want to use it to develop the minimum viable product. That is the first prototype of the app so that we can launch it, we see if it can work. We incubate all the ideas that we are trying to solve, like the issue of accessibility and security. From there, and then we will do the deployment. So as I said, we are in the GTFS process, and right now we are working weekly with Trufi and with the help of Leonardo from Brazil. He's helping us to edit the GTFS. We have workspaces where we do contributions, and we meet there and just we try to add the GTFS, correct all the existing routes that we know using local knowledge. So yes, as Mary shared, we are open for more collaborations so that we can achieve a better system for urban transport, that is public transport in Nairobi City. And that was my presentation and our presentation. So thank you, Mary, for the good time. I hope we are saving up on your time. Yeah, welcome for the questions, if we have any, that is. Yes. I think you will need to come and use the mic because of online audience.
Yeah, thank you so much, Walter and Mary. So far, there are no questions online. If you're here and you have a question, can you come forward so that you can use a mic? Yes.
Thank you, my Benedicta, and good evening, everyone. So my question is, yeah, you talked about collaboration. So your collaboration doesn't mean every any organization that wants to collaborate, you should come to you, or you can go to the organization. And also, as you clearly stated that communities, we all have our different challenges. Has it come to mind that maybe once a while collaborate with an OSM organization in another country on a project or any other thing OSM related to see and find the gaps between and see how both of the organization can come up with a solution? Yeah, thank you very much.
Of course, thank you for the question. Now that you've raised that, I think these are the more ideas we wanted to hear from participants like Benedicta asking. I think even if you look at this project, I think it's OSM Ethiopia that were helping the implementation of Truth in Ethiopia. We have OSM Ghana helping in that. I think it's high time that we can also approach such communities for local OSM community partnerships. But of course, we don't always wait for them to reach out to us. We try to reach out to them, but you realize most organizations, you reach out if they are having a funding opportunity most of the time. Or, you know, a lot of big organizations, you know, you need to find a way to... I know it's some interesting challenge, mostly if you are not a registered organization. That's why also we registered OSM Kenya, is you need to justify, are you a real organization? Because someone cannot just listen to you and give you whatever you're asking if they don't know if you exist. So there are all these development stages that we are trying to overcome, like we recently registered. Now it can give us room to bang in any other organization, go to WRI and tell them we are having this program, please. How can we merge our synergies to improve our public transport systems? But of course, thank you for sharing the idea of collaborating with other communities. Yes.
Okay, thank you. So it's a question that has always been badging my mind, especially with OSM communities in the African region. You know, when it comes to sustaining our communities, it's sometimes very difficult, especially when not much incentives are involved, you know. So in your perspective or opinion, how have you been able to sustain your community, and how do you think other communities can replicate such acts? And also, sorry. sorry. And also, yeah, as I earlier stated with our collaborations, like, yes, we have OSM Africa who does, we do monthly mapathons, yeah, for every country. So aside that, I think OSM communities, especially Africa, we don't really have such meetings among us aside OSM Africa. So what do you think we can do so that we can also know ourselves, because we are brothers and sisters? So what are some of the things you think you can implement so that we can come in and one as a stronger OSM community and also be at top notch with the European OSM communities? Thank you.
Ah, now I understand why I have a bigger audience. But thank you for, of course, asking the questions, and I hope we are all learning. The first question you asked me, in my personal opinion, and I think I've seen a few of my friends here, I think I should ask them to answer this. Brother Ezekiel, what motivates you to map daily? He's been doing a daily challenge this year. Please, come and answer. And I tried that. Trust me, it's very hard. If you look at my contributions, you'll be surprised.
Okay, good evening. I think it's the only to provide data, because once you map, you just contribute data. So we need the data for to solve various challenges. That is why I am mapping every day.
I will clap for him more, because and I've seen another brother. So interestingly, Eric and Ezekiel do a competition where they want to count how many missed days they mapped the entire. You can check their edits. If you go to SM, they can share their usernames. So they encouraged me. I tried that. I realized I don't have the energy to do such challenges. But I also tried in Kenya with my friend Judith, and it didn't work well. But generally, I always believe this. If you explain to people the reason why data is important, you will always get a number of people who will listen to you. Number one, a good example he shared. We've had disasters, floods, just popping in. We had crazy rainfall in, I've seen Bonaire here, Red Cross. We had crazy rainfall in April in Nairobi. We usually receive 10 millimeters of rainfall in a day. We were receiving 100 millimeters in a day, and it was flooding. Now, can you imagine all the data gaps that we had, that we had to start creating projects around, you know, drainages and stuff like that? It becomes, if you start to explain the people the need why we need data that is accurate, it becomes easier. It becomes easier. If you tell people, there are people ready, they have time. I know students, we always having like, we have, back in campus, I only used to attend 3-hour class in a day. The rest of the day, you go watch movies. I know some have done that. Please stop looking at me like you never did that. So if you get someone to motivate you early enough, that is, I'm now talking about doing campaigns, advocacy for OSM. Talk to your youth mappers, your teams. Tell them, always, when you start meeting weekly, you will already realize that one person showing up every week. Work with them. They will start picking up. They will invite a friend. You will get 4 people, 5 people contributing weekly. You will get more data. You will get people who are more experienced. Now you can validate the existing data. That is the only easy way I can say, because OSM, sincerely, we don't appreciate if we have to pay people to map. It should be community data. And therefore, it should come from within. Yes. You asked the last question. I can't recall. What was it? Oh. What we do is now, for us with the working group program, working groups, what we do is before the year starts, we have an annual calendar where we set up mapathons. We try the monthly mapathons. We realize that after 1 month, a lot of people have forgotten about the mapathon, whether we send them calendar invites. I don't want to say it, but the joke is probably people don't check their emails to accept the invite. But then what we do is now we decided to have weekly mapathons. And then we look at specific challenges that we want to address. We say that is how you package your work. You say we want to improve data. This is the training on data improving. People are now already used to mapping. Change the topic, package it well, share it early enough, people will show up.
Yeah, so thank you, Walter. Thank you, Mary. So you mentioned OSM Kenya is registered as an association in Kenya, right? Yeah, so I'm interested to know, is OSM Kenya recognized by the OSMF, OpenStreetMap Foundation, as a local chapter? I mean, if not, what are some of the challenges? Because what I've seen is that we have, Africa OpenStreetMap communities have experienced challenges time and time again, being recognized by the OSMF as a local chapter. So are we a local chapter? And if not, what are the challenges and what are we doing? Thank you.
I know that question. I hoped it will not come around today, but now that it's here. I remember before, recently we were doing a presentation with the OSM Foundation as OSM Kenya. And when we mentioned that we have just registered with the government, they said that we should try registering with the OSM Foundation. So we haven't started yet, but probably after this conference, we will create time to start the process. Now, I'm not anticipating problems because I like solving them. Very positive.
Hi, everyone. I'm Arnali from the Philippines. I also serve as one of the OpenStreetMap board. Maybe to answer first the local chapter. So yeah, OSM Kenya is not yet a local chapter. I've been telling Walter since last year to apply as a local chapter, but he's kind of busy. But currently right now we only have one recognized local chapter in Africa, that's OSM DRC. So I think we would love to have more local chapters in Africa, in other regions of the world. Even in my country, even in my region in Asia, we only have one local chapter. So hopefully soon, but we're not sure yet if we will be registering as a organization. So this is actually my question to Walter, because in OSM Philippines, we're not registered yet as an organization, because it's very challenging to register as an organization in the country of Philippines. Lots of processes, time and everything, money is also an issue. But I'm curious if registering as an organization affect growing your membership, because that's also, I think, one of the challenges, how to grow a membership for us as a non-registered organization. But I'm curious if that has made an impact being an registered organization.
That is a good one. Quick response is, I think according to the constitution of our government, we have different constitutions, right? So in Kenya, we realized that if you wanted to register as an association is under the society. Number one, you're exempted to pay taxes. You can file the NIR return, which means that all the income was used in expenses. Then you don't have a limit of submitting the employee forms for KRA and stuff. They are the revenue authorities. We exempted from doing that. So it gives us more room to work with a bigger. So we registered as a society instead of going for an organization. Then to register as an organization in Kenya is slightly expensive. You need quite a lot of money to do that. And then you have now to fill all the taxation and the regression from the government. So to avoid such, I don't know how it's in your country. I always prefer you do more background research on the advantages of registering as a, before considering the OSM Foundation, consider advantages and disadvantages of registering as an organization in your country, as a society, or how you call them. Always do the background check to know the advantages first before you register it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Walter. You still have questions.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah. So I also have a question. Do you have like staff, paid staff as an organization, or you first answer that?
So we don't. We are purely volunteers. We purely volunteer, all of us. But as Mary shared initially, that you might ask, like, how do we pay our bills? Let's have a local talk, right? How do I pay my bills if I'm mapping daily? I have to do all OSM stuff. So we, as she talked about empowering ourselves, that we learn hard skills, technical skills. Some of these skills can really help us if, let's say, I'm getting someone who's looking for a service, that a skill that I've learned from, you know, we had the training of drone image processing helped by HOT, right? Now we have the skill. My CV is better. Trust me, I can get a job elsewhere, a gig. I can use that. That is how I make my living. Now you can give me a job.
So Walter is looking for a job. Yes. Yeah, so there is one more question for you. We still have 3 minutes. Yeah, so what do you think the ideal leadership of an OSM community in Africa should look like, especially when it mostly based on volunteer link?
Bad story, good example. I have overstayed in power. Yeah, I've overstayed in power for one more extra year because of this conference. So they asked me that because we started the entire registration last year. To transit after 1 year, it will be very hard to pick up with a new leader. So they asked me to stay on a little longer. So I'll be stepping out this year. So an ideal leadership structure, I will say, I don't always advocate for democracy. This is not very political. The idea of voting for leaders, you can get someone who is popular, but they don't have the drive to run the show. Number two, they might not have the skill set to help you run. So it's always important that the existing team, they should have the capacity or the mandate to help you using both democratic rights like voting and also doing a background check, looking at the commitment. It can help you to select a leader who can hold in the same position without necessarily changing the entire objective of your association or your community. That is my ideal structure. So you incorporate in the democratic one, then you also do the appointing one. Like you look at someone that you feel can do this, ask them, can they do? If they are not okay, you tell, okay, fine. Then number two, I always say this, it should be okay if someone cannot deliver, ask them to step down so that you get someone who can deliver. You can always find a way to talk to someone in a manner that they don't feel disrespected.
Yeah, a hand of applause to Walter. Yeah, sure. There is one minute. Yeah, there is 1 minute here. So
Walter is avoiding me to ask the question, but I think I'll ask. I'm Elijah. And I think it's an open, probably it's, I don't know if it's the right place to ask this question. You mentioned that in Asia you have one chapter for registered to OSM Foundation. In Africa it's a one chapter. So is it that it's a blocker for OSM community to register with the OSM Foundation? And why is it that we have less OSM communities registered as in the OSM Foundation? So just try to understand why we have very few OSM Foundation communities registered. It's just open to everyone who.
I think that question goes to Annalie. Kindly come in.
Hello, yes.
So wearing my OpenStreetMap Foundation hat, as Walter said, it's, you know, OSM communities are not homogeneous. So we all have, you know, our different struggles and everything. We had a discussion last year at State of the Map Asia with lots of people, I mean, lots of OSM communities. And one of really the main challenges in Asia is there's lots of, you know, bureaucratic process to be registered as a nonprofit organization. And that's one of the requirement to be a local chapter. So you see lots of, you know, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Philippine community. You can see us all in social media being active and everything. But actually, we are just a group of people, you know, gathered together. We're not an organization, and if we, it's really hard, and it takes time, effort, money to be a registered organization from Asia. So yeah, that's one of the main challenges. I can say, you know, I can say anything from, you know, the Africa side, but yeah, what I can say is, you know, I know there has been currently right now we have, I think, two applications from Africa, the Gambia, and yeah, maybe there, or maybe it's just the Gambia. So it's currently ongoing. The process is ongoing. We already, you know, made clear the requirements of being a local chapter. If your community is interested to be, we can talk. But yeah, we wrote clearly the process. The review will be undergone by the local chapters and community congress, not directly by the board. But yeah, they based on the local chapters and communities working group review, it will be recommended to the board. But yeah, it's still up to the board to vote if they want to recognize that applying community to be a local chapter. So yeah, maybe that is something that you can also talk to DRC. They were very successful in being a local chapter. So yeah, maybe we can learn from DRC as well, you know, since you're all in the same region, although still living in the different countries, so yeah, different challenges. So thank you for that wonderful question.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anali, for responding. Yourself now, Peter, Walter, yourself from the stress of, yeah. Yeah, so thank you, everyone. We've come to an end of this session.